Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Thank you for tuning in to Radio Free Redoubt. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, you know the drill. Your name is my name, too. All right, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I hope you had a blessed week. Thank you for listening, tuning in on our terrestrial stations through our ACN affiliates, the American Christian Network affiliates, on KTW 630 AM and 96.5 FM. And I want to remind you also, because we want to do this periodically, there are a lot of folks that you may know who have limited bandwidth. Maybe it's you. Or folks who don't have the internet at all. If you're outside of the reach of our terrestrial radio stations and you can't reach us on the AM or FM dial, then live streaming is the way to go unless you don't have internet. If that's the case, the number is 857-757-1085. And that's also all on our website. For all the different ways to listen for our live streaming. Now, that phone number is for, let me back up here, not to mislead you. That call-in number is for listening to our live podcast on Sunday evenings only. That's tied into our Stream Monster player, and that's how we live stream. Although we are live streaming right now also, that is through our ACN affiliates, the KTW, the Liberty Broadcasting. That's the stream that the radio station provides. And for those of you who are listening to the live streaming right now, that's how you're able to do that, because Liberty Broadcasting has made that possible. So thank them for that. And this coming week, we hope to see you guys at the Red Pill Expo. That is this, you know, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday coming up. And stop by and see us. We'll be at the Liberty State table, and then also the Radio Free Redoubt and Patriot Radio table with myself, Representative Matt Shea will be there. And we'll have representatives from Liberty State manning the Liberty State. So I'll be wearing a couple of different hats, and I look forward to seeing you this coming weekend for those of you who are going to be there. All right. It's my pleasure to bring on a special guest. I met this gentleman a little over a year ago, and finally in person, in Central Washington. And he gave a speech on, well, he was talking about the Constitution. He is a expert in constitutional studies. He is definitely a statesman, a retired Marine, and an author. And he runs the websites, among many other things, and radio shows, ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, and then as kind of his flagship website, MobiusStripPress.com. We'll talk more about that. But it's an honor to bring on G.R. Mobley, Reclaiming the Republic. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you for having me on.
You bet. Well, thank you for being with us. It's great to talk to another radio personality and teacher of history and the Constitution, and another just a devout patriot right here inside the heart of the American Redoubt, with your own radio show broadcasting out of Spokane, and your podcasts are all available. So we're neighbors, and
yes, we are. Yeah.
It's really great to have you with us. There's a lot of stuff that you do that I think is worthy of sharing with the audience, because I'm such a huge proponent of getting back to our roots, getting back to our heritage, learning the rule of law. If we're a nation of laws, we're a republic, not a democracy. And you articulate these things very well using source documents. So just quickly, besides the introduction that I covered, what is it, just kind of a synopsis of what you do, what's driving you, what your vision is with what you're doing, reclaiming the Republic?
Well, let me give you some unsolicited history on how and why I am where I am. I grew up in a family of faith, and I grew up with a father who had political science as a major, and I was involved in constitutional arguments and studies since the 70s. And with that, I guess my future was kind of foreordained. But in the early 2000s, I was getting ready to go and finally get a degree, having five MOSs and more than enough credit hours for a degree in very specific things. I realized that, you know, I was going to write a book. I knew I wanted to write a book, but I started focusing on the Constitution. And so it became a real prayerful consideration of how and what, because I believe that if you knock, it shall be opened unto you, ask and you shall receive.
Yeah.
And so in a real prayerful approach, I was seeking, you know, what does it take to fix our republic and take the Constitution back? And ergo, I was involved in defense contracting. I've been in the intelligence community for 30-some years. And in that process, right at that same point in time, I was in a meeting as a manager, and we were being told that we were going to be audited by the government on our contract, whether we were within it and so forth. And in that meeting, as soon as that those words came out, I just heard literally an audible voice say, "Why don't you audit the Constitution?" And so there you go. That is literally started setting me on the path of researching and doing all of that. And I can tell you, it was a lot of eye openings. And it's not that I didn't have all this information before, but it really forced me to drill into the ratification debate. So let me now give you the 90-second elevator pitch of what we have to do. Or the academic argument. First and foremost, the Constitution is a contract. It was written for and by the states. Article 7 supports that because it required 9 states to buy in, not the president, not Congress, not the Supreme Court. It required state buy-in, which means it identified the states as the stakeholders. Article 5 even reinforces this because the only way the contract can be changed in any degree is it requires 3/4 of the states to agree upon it. Therefore, the states are the principal stakeholders of this contract and have the responsibility of oversight in this contract. In addition to that, to clearly delineate just how defined this contract was, the 9th and 10th Amendments actually lay out the groundwork that those things that are not defined or delegated to the federal government within the contract, all those things were reserved to the states. So in other words, as you know, there's a Supremacy Clause, Necessary and Proper Clause, Commerce Clause, and General Welfare and Defense Clauses. Those clauses, as you go through the ratification debates, were clearly delineated as clauses that only applied to those delegated powers. In other words, the federal government is only supreme over those delegated powers. They can only make laws that are necessary and proper for those delegated powers. And the Commerce Clause was even a more myopic scope, that the federal government was only supreme in foreign commerce and commerce between the states. They were supposed to play as the objective third party to say, okay, this you're taking advantage of this other state. And the General Welfare and Defense Clause just meant a overall uniform application of how they were supposed to exercise those enumerated powers. And so you can clearly get all of this type of support, academic support, within the ratification debates. One of the most powerful documents that I read was Madison's veto on the what they called the bonus bill. It was in 1817, March 3rd, 1817. And the little backstory to this, and I don't want to take up too much time, but this is really important. Madison was closing out his presidency, and his friends from Congress came over and said, you have been the hallmark of the Constitution and everything else. You're retiring. what kind of bill can we give you that we can create that would be a memento and a hallmark for your service? And at that point in time, Madison started, you know, basically ruminating and thinking, you know, the one thing this republic needs is the ability to flow commerce more efficiently. So he gave them this kind of lecture that we need to improve our highways and waterways so that we can move commerce so efficiently from the inland to overseas and back. And so they went over, created a bill that was going to literally create the Department of Transportation. They brought that back to him and he vetoed it. And he said, this is not how you do this. These four clauses that I mentioned before, those are not portals to new powers. And if you go read this bill, he even says that even if the states allow you to create this power, it is still unconstitutional. And down the road, the states can wake up and say, you know what, we don't want you to have this power, and they can pull it back. The only way you can do this is legitimately through the Article 5 process. And so I challenge people to read that. And when they do, they go, oh, my gosh, well, here's the funny thing. He said you have to amend the Constitution to create the Department of Transportation. Not only did they not accept that from Madison, they tried again, I think it was 1820, with James Monroe. And the interesting thing was James Monroe told him the exact same thing. And then they tried in 1822 and 1830 with Andrew Jackson. They tried the exact same thing. Will you give us a Department of Transportation? They had this, you know, they've had these different reasons why. And Andrew Jackson even shut him down and said, you have to amend the Constitution. And so here's the question. If three presidents and the father of the Constitution said that you have to amend the Constitution to create a Department of Transportation, we must surely have an amendment that gives the federal government the power to have a Department of Transportation. But we don't. There goes the crux of the problem. We have a runaway government that has been building upon lies, deceits, and hoodwinking and throwing money out to the states. And the only process, going back to this contract, what do you do when your contract's being violated? Most people go, oh, you go to court. No, there is no court that is higher than the states over those things that are not within the Constitution, because the Supreme Court in Article 3, Section 2, is locked to only jurisdiction over those things within the Constitution. They have no jurisdiction on things that are not in the Constitution.
Correct.
That's why it requires the states to step in and say, we never gave this authority. We don't want you to have this authority, and we're taking it back. And that's what we call an audit process.
And this is what leading up to that, that's precisely what the 10th Amendment addresses.
Correct. But it doesn't – so there's no breadcrumb as to how or what you have to do. So to quickly give you the fire hose, in 1798, when the Sedition Act and those four other acts or accompanying acts went with that, Madison and Jefferson recognized federal tyranny. They were passing laws that were unconstitutional. So what did they do? Well, I tell you, they didn't go off and create some organization to teach people. They didn't go off and ask for an Article 5 amendment process to try to amend the Constitution. What they did was they went back, educated the state legislators in Kentucky and Virginia, got them to actually stand up to call out these egregious violations of the Constitution. And instead of going to the federal government, they made an appeal to the states to coalesce or to unite in rebuking the federal government, because the states actually have the power to enforce the contract. And what I mean by that is, once you have enough states that you can actually have a strong influence, and I mean strong with teeth influence over Congress, these states can actually start charging their congressmen and senators with treason and recalling them. And because these are creatures of career and machinations and designs of trying to do, you know, a growth of power, those types of things, they will morph, or like a chimera, they will take on the form of, oh, okay, yeah, and they'll do what you want them to do. But those who refuse, they can easily be called back and undo these unconstitutional things. And so they created a breadcrumb, and nobody ever saw what they were doing, because the nutshell of what came out of those two resolutions was nullification. And I'm telling people that nullification was the last resort. And it is like trying to kill an elephant with a fly swatter, because if one state nullifies the Department of Education, until all the states nullify it, that Department of Education is still wasting money and still brainwashing kids and indoctrinating them into the statist ideologies. So nullification only works in a very minute scale. It's not enough. And that's why they didn't want to just nullify. They made the appeal to all the states to do their job. And Madison says that all the state legislators are duty bound to interpose and arrest this evil.
Yes. I love that language. I love that language. The problem is we have a electorate, and their elected representatives are part of that electorate, part of a system that has purged the whole way of thinking out from their whole they don't even think this way. They, matter of fact, they would mock it. And today with the leftist, well, I would say communist influenced education system and backing the academia, that deep state, this is the worst thing that they could ever be confronted with. It just would completely unsettle their power base. So we have a lack of willingness of those to hold the federal government accountable and having enough states come online. How do we overcome that?
I can answer those questions, but now I think you understand the magnitude of what I'm doing.
Oh, you're talking to somebody who fully grasps this. But I'll tell you what, let's catch this in the next segment. We got to take a quick break. So okay. We'll come back, and I would love to tackle that. In fact, we're going to run out of time. I can tell you right now, there's just too much. I would love to have you back on Sunday to do just another segment, and we'll maybe bring you on regularly, maybe once a month, just to do a segment to kind of pick up this conversation.
Sure.
There's a lot here to start on when you start pulling the onion layers back.
Yes. Happy to help.
Okay. I want to thank our sponsor for this segment, Werkz Holsters, W-E-R-K-Z, custom-made holsters right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Check them out today, WerkzHolsters.com. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
If there is any hope of restoring America, we cannot, as a free people, allow ourselves to be divided. Division is what the destroyers of liberty are counting on, and if that means, as a last resort, preserving those American ideals within the boundaries of the American Redoubt, there must be unity among the patriots. We must all hang together, or assuredly we shall all hang separately. That's what Benjamin Franklin said, and that's what I say too. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
In addition to voting in all elections, become active in government. Run for local, state, and national office, or help select capable people of the highest integrity to serve. Be constantly vocal on all local and national political issues. Tell your representatives in Congress, or even the President himself, what do you think is the best course on issues that come before the public? And lastly, obligation number 8. Dedicate a part of your everyday life to the bringing of these requirements of American citizenship to the attention of fellow students, fellow workers, neighbors, and friends.
We are back here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and this is segment 2, brought to you by Riverfront Suites. Patriot-owned business right there on the beautiful St. Joe River in St. Mary's, Idaho, at the south end of Coeur d'Alene Lake. If you want a place to just get away for the weekend, nice and quiet, serene little town, then check them out, riverfrontsuites.com. Okay, now we are going to wrap this segment up, but I know we're going to run out of time because there's just so much. This Pandora's box we're starting to open up here, we're going to be revisiting this. And we are with, if you're just joining us late, we are with G.R. Mobley, Reclaiming the Republic. He is the senior editor over there at Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic. and also has a radio show on Red State Talk Radio, as well as on KSBN every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Here, of course, Pacific time in the American Redoubt. So check that out when you get a chance. Also, we'll put the links in our highlights and resources posting for all of these resources, everything that we discuss, where there's references for us to point you to, we will include that in the highlights and resources posting. So, G.R. Mobley, thank you so much for staying with us here at the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Happy to be here and a pleasure to serve.
All right. Well, lots. And you are serving, too. You're traveling continuously, educating the public, taking them back to our heritage. And this is something we need more of, because we do have subject matter experts. Chris Ann Hall has been a longtime favorite constitutional historian and all that. But What I like is that you live right here in the American Redoubt, so it's kind of like one of our own, right? And secondly, you hit it from a different angle, and you bring forward so much of our rich heritage and our history that is people just don't talk about.
Right. There's a lot of great patriots out there doing a lot of great things. I'll be honest with you that there's a lot of conservatives that do not like what I'm doing, because there is a lot of money to be made in the grievance industry and in being divided and so forth. I don't believe that many of the conservative entertainers will like what I'm doing, because if you fix the problem, their market goes away.
Right.
If we get the federal government to behave, over 90% of our problems that we are suffering from in this federal tyranny state that we're living is driven by unconstitutional federal government. If we solve that problem, a lot of people become either irrelevant or they just lose their market space. And so that's kind of what I talk about in my second book, is I realize the reality that there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to want to give up their little market space because they're making good money in having people listen to their radio shows or TV shows or what have you. And boy, wouldn't it be great if we finally united and we finally realized how we've been manipulated for well over a century.
Yeah.
And anyway.
So I agree. And I'd like to respond to that real quickly, because I exist because of the state that we're in. And
right.
I would love to put myself out of a job. Now, I don't make a good living. I took a massive hit to do what I do because I believe in it. But I think that we're going to have some job security for a long time. Because
I think that
what your message is, or Chris Ann Hall, or Wall Builders, or anybody that's taking us back to our heritage, I think what that's for, because there's a whole list. Actually, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to make up a list of things to say, if we would do this, we could fix America. If we could do this, 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 and this, we could actually turn things around. Yay. So
yep.
I think that it's not a problem with identifying. We've got the intellect to identify what the problem is and even the solutions, but we lack the will. And I think for that reason, we have job security, those of us that see our republic declining, and we're planning and strategizing for the next chapter where we follow the rest of the republics and empires into the history books, because there will be a rebuilding afterward. And I see this as knowing our heritage. This is more than anything for the remnant. The remnant that needs to move forward in a rebuilding process, if things go that way, which it appears that they very well could. We are going to need to know this for us to restore the republic or rebuilding in the future. In either case, we must know this stuff.
Right. And I don't know how much time we have left. We got about 5 minutes left.
I'm sorry. I went on a rant. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Because we can carry this into several conversations. But
we've got like 2.5 minutes. I can't believe it. This goes so fast.
So in 1 minute, I'll say this, that we have 2 to 5 years at the best, because the communists, the Platonists is what I call them, have had a monopoly of the education system for well over a century. And
yes.
I document this, that we have been trained, and our future generation, they're putting 10 million kids in a year into the electorate process. And these kids are foaming at the mouth, waiting for the ability to legitimately vote and surrender our liberties. And when that happens, we are going to rue the day, because and I don't know what else to say other than the fact that we have to blame ourselves if these are our kids or our kids' kids that are producing these communists. Then we have blindly allowed the education system to do this.
Amen. But
I look at it 2 to 5 years.
Well, Abraham Lincoln said the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next. And here we are.
Right. And so if you add the illegal aliens, the Islamist refugees that are coming here, that they're trying to give away the voting rights to people who are willing to surrender because they don't understand liberty, then that's why I say we got about 2 to 5 years at the best case 5 years. And Trump is only creating a distraction. There's no way the federal government will disband all of its tyranny. So when he's gone, the next person will be able to exercise every single one of those tools once again. That's why if the states do not wake up and stand up, and I'm getting at least this message into the state legislators' hands, and we can talk about this in the next segment of how I'm doing this, but if they at least understand, because the day's coming quickly when the federal government for political expediency will set aside the Constitution, and when they do, the state legislators have to stand up and say, stop, that is not your Constitution, it is ours. You have no authority to do that, and we're not letting you do that.
Amen.
That is the critical point.
Absolutely. And we want to talk about how to do that. So we are at the end of our time. So if you could just real quickly just put out your website and your radio show where people can go and learn more, even though we're going to link that in our highlights and resources posting. But
sure.
I'll let you go and
It's reclaimingtherepublic.org. That's where all my podcasts are. That's where my model is. That's where all my arguments are. My books, if you want to buy those, that's MobiStripPress.com. But reclaimingtherepublic.org and my radio show is Reclaiming the Republic on Red State Talk Radio from 3 to 4 PST.
Outstanding. Okay, thank you so much. G.R. Mobley, Reclaiming the Republic. And join us tomorrow night on RadioFreeRedoubt.com. We're going to have him back. We're going to do another segment with him tomorrow night to kind of pick up where we left off, because there's just way too much to cover. And this will be a recurring theme, having G.R. Mobley back with us. Okay, this is the voice of the American Redoubt. If you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. God bless.